I want to talk to you tonight in these closing moments about the almost Christian. The almost Christian. And we're reading in Acts chapter 26 and verse 22. Paul's testimony is recorded for us three times in the Acts. Acts 9, Acts 22 and Acts 26. And here he's standing before King Agrippa, the Roman governor Festus, and Bernice, the lady that Agrippa's living with. And here's Paul's testimony, verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. The Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice and they that sat with him. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. See what Agrippa says to Paul in verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. The almost Christian. D.L. Moody, the famous American evangelist, by his own admission, made a mistake on the 8th of October in the year 1871. It was a mistake. He determined never to repeat. He had been preaching in his own city, the city of Chicago. And that particular night drew his largest audience up to that point. His message was, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? By the end of the message, D.L. Moody was tired. He concluded his message, and once again he presented the gospel faithfully. And then he said this, I'm going to give you a week to think the message over. And when we come together again, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to the message of the gospel. A soloist began to sing. But before the final note, the music was drowned out by clanging bells and wailing sirens screaming through the streets of Chicago. The great Chicago fire was blazing. And in the ashen aftermath, hundreds were dead. And over 100,000 people were homeless. And without a doubt, some who heard D.L. Moody's message that night had died in the fire. Moody reflected remorsefully that he would have given his right arm before he would give his audience another week to think over the message of the cross. You know, when I considered that story, I thought about the passage that we have just read this evening. I wonder tonight, are you in Lurgan and Lisburn Baptist Church, and maybe you're right at the point of salvation. Maybe you're right at the door of salvation. Maybe God has been working in your heart. Maybe the Holy Spirit has been convicting you of sin, and you're right at the point of making a decision for Jesus Christ. But perhaps you have it in your mind tonight that you'll have other opportunities to get saved. Maybe you'll say at the end of this service, preacher, what you said in this service is absolutely true. I agree with you 100%, and preacher, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Is that not what Agrippa said to Paul? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. My dear friends, this was one of the most dramatic scenes in all of the Word of God and in the annals of human history. Everybody who was anybody was in Caesarea that evening. Caesarea was on the coast. And everybody who was anybody was in Caesarea that day to celebrate Festus becoming the new Roman governor. I wonder in your mind's eye, can you see the Apostle Paul standing before King Agrippa, Bernice, the Roman governor, Festus? You know, these different characters represent different people, even in our service tonight. You see, my dear friends, Festus represents those who are alienated from Christ. He thought that Paul was crazy. He thought that Paul was a madman. He says, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. He thought that Christianity was for losers. Festus represents those who are alienated from Christ. Paul represents those who are altogether for Christ. Here was a man who was totally sold out to Jesus Christ. He was totally committed to Christ. He said, for me to live as Christ, to die as gain. But my dear friends, if Festus represents those who are alienated from Christ and Paul represents those who are altogether for Christ, then King Agrippa represents those who are almost to Christ. He was almost a Christian, and yet he was not altogether one. I believe one of the greatest tragedies in all of life is for a person to be almost saved but lost. What a tragedy, dear unconverted friend, tonight it would be for you to hear the Word of God faithfully preached, to tremble under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and yet turn away from this place tonight and never be saved. I wonder tonight, is it well with your soul? I wonder in recent days, have you been thinking about your relationship with God? I wonder if you've been thinking about how you can stand in the right before a holy God. I wonder, have you been thinking how the sin question can be dealt with in your life? Maybe you've been thinking about your destiny, about eternity. You've been very, very close. You have been almost a Christian. I want to talk to you in these closing moments about the almost Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You know, as we think of Agrippa's words to Paul, we think first of all of the man that confronted him, Paul confronting King Agrippa. You see, Paul, the apostle, was doing his utmost best to persuade Agrippa to become a Christian. See what he says in verse 29? And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. I mean, how do you persuade someone to become a follower of Christ? How do you persuade someone to become a Christian? Well, look at Paul. And notice that he used the persuasion of the powerful scriptures. The persuasion of the powerful scriptures. He looks at Agrippa and he says, for the king knoweth of these things. What things was Paul talking about? Well, according to verse 22, he was talking about the prophets and Moses. He's talking about the scriptures. He's talking about what the Bible has to say. Paul was using this powerful weapon called the Word of God, called the Holy Scriptures, to bring Agrippa to the point of salvation. You know, dear friends, tonight that's the point of the Word of God. That's the purpose of the Word of God. The purpose of our Bible tonight, the purpose of the Word of God, is to bring a person to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The intention of the Word of God tonight is to bring you face to face with Jesus Christ. The intention of this book tonight is to show you that you're a sinner, is to show you that your sin can be cleansed. The intention of this book tonight is to show you the loveliness and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. I just wonder, has the Word of God been having an impact on your life in these days? Has it cut you like a sword? Has it crushed you like a fire? Has it consumed you like a hammer? You know, one day Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the famous Baptist preacher, he was to preach in a place called Crystal Palace in London. And you know, they were erecting the stage there, and they wanted Spurgeon to come and try out the acoustics. You see, there was no amplification, and I can assure you Spurgeon didn't need it. And you know, he stood up in that building and they were asking him to try the acoustics. And he stood up in that building and he just shouted out one text. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And there was a workman working on the roof right at the back of that large auditorium. And as soon as he heard the Word of God quoted, he was convicted of his sin. My friends, he went home that night, he couldn't sleep, he was restless, until in the early hours of the morning he got down upon his knees and he received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. The Word of God smote him, the Word of God spoke to him, the Word of God brought him to Christ. I wonder, has God's Word been speaking to your heart in recent days? Wonder, has it challenged you concerning your sin, concerning your state, concerning your standing before God? You see, here's Paul, the wee apostle, and he's standing before the great king, and he's using the persuasion of the powerful scriptures, but don't stop there. He's using the persuasion of the personal soul winner. He says in verse 26, I am persuaded. You see, Paul was the Lord's messenger to bear his name. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. He was the one that the Lord would use to stand before kings. And here's Paul making his great defense of the gospel. And although all the leading lights of the city are around him, Paul has got one purpose, one focus. His eye is upon one man in the congregation. His eye is on King Agrippa. You read down this chapter and you'll notice that Paul mentions Agrippa's name time and time and time again. He does it in verse 2, verse 7, verse 13, verse 19, verse 27. You say, what's Paul doing? He's after the soul of this man. He's after the soul of this man. And I'm just wondering tonight, dear unconverted friend, have you encountered some Christian who knows the Lord and loves the Lord and they're living for the Lord and they have spoken with you personally about their relationship with Jesus Christ? You see, they're concerned about your soul. They're concerned about you ending up in hell. They're concerned about where you're going to spend eternity. Some friend at work, some workmate, some relative, some colleague that you know, some loved one, and they've been speaking to you about your eternal destiny and how you stand before God. And I'm just wondering tonight, is God using that link in the chain to bring you to faith in Jesus Christ? Here's Paul the apostle, and he's standing before the great king, and he's using the persuasion of the powerful scriptures. He's using the persuasion of the personal soul winner, and then he's using the persuasion of the precious Savior. For Paul says in verse 26, for this thing was not done in the corner. You say, preacher, what's he talking about? He's talking about the cross of Christ. He's talking about the day our Lord Jesus Christ died for our sin. It's as if Paul took the hand of Agrippa and led him up Calvary's hill. My friend, will you come back with me just for a moment tonight, 2,000 years ago, when the Savior died on the cross? Do you see the soldiers as they gamble around the cross for the garments of the Savior? You hear the rabble crowd of the crucifixion as they mill around the cross. He saved others, himself he cannot save. Do you hear the words of our blessed Savior as he prayed? They're hammering in the nails into his hands and into his feet. And he's praying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they're taking that spear and pushing it into the side of our blessed Savior. And he's crying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he cries, it is finished. You see, when Jesus Christ died on that cross, he was dying for your sins and mine. All my sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God who knew them laid them on him. And believing, we are free. Now tell me tonight, is there not something persuasive about that? Is there not something deeply moving about what the Lord Jesus did on the cross for you? You see, Paul confronted this man with the real truth, and he draws forth this amazing testimony from the lips of King Agrippa. Almost, Paul, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Think of the man that confronted him. And then think of the message that convicted him. You say, preacher, why was the king persuaded but not altogether? Well, can you imagine how Agrippa was feeling at this time? I mean, you put yourself in his shoes for a moment or two this evening. If you read through the New Testament, you'll discover this. The Herods weren't a very nice family. In fact, they were a very nasty family. And this wasn't the first time that King Agrippa II had come into contact with the gospel. This man, King Agrippa II, had a disastrous family. It was this man's great-grandfather, Herod the Great, that had killed all the babies around the time of the birth of Christ. It was this man's great-uncle, Herod Antipas, who had beheaded John the Baptist. It was this man's father who had incarcerated Peter in prison and also beheaded James. This man's whole family had opposed the gospel. Some of them a terrible death. But now, my friends, God is at work in this man's life. He's moved. Something is going on internally. Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Do you see him tonight? He's standing at the gate of almost. But he doesn't go into the land of altogether. Why? Well, have a look around that banquet hall that night and you'll get the reason. You see, if you look around that banquet hall that evening, it'll help you to understand why Agrippa was an almost Christian. For one thing, there was the love of sin, Bernice. You see, Herod Agrippa was her brother. But they had an incestuous relationship. Because here they were, brother and sister, and they were living as man and wife. They were living in incest. They were living in sin. Here were a brother and sister in an incestuous relationship. I wonder, did the king glance over at Bernice as Paul was preaching and realize that if he became a follower of the Lamb, if he became a Christian, he would have to give her up. His sin would have to go. You see, he stopped short of knowing Jesus Christ because he realized that if he came to the Savior, his sin would have to go. Agrippa, you see, has a sin problem. Do you realize tonight, my friend, you've got a sin problem? That's the problem with us all. The heart of the human problem is ever the problem of the human heart. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Down deep within every one of us tonight, we have got a sin problem. My dear friends, I've seen many people come to the very verge of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, but they have turned back. They have turned back at the very last moment because they're not prepared to give up their sin. You know what the Savior said? Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's part of conversion, isn't it? Repentance. Conversion and faith are two sides of the one coin. There's a turning from sin. There's a turning in faith to Jesus Christ. And I'm just wondering tonight, as Agrippa looked round that banquet hall, I wonder as he thought of Bernice, he realized that he wasn't prepared to give her up. He wasn't prepared to let go of her sin. But you know, as you look around that banquet hall that night again, you see not only the love of sin, Bernice, you see the fear of man, Festus. You see, the old king had heard what the Roman governor had said to Paul. Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. Paul, you're a madman. You're crazy. Maybe this old king thought, well, what would Festus think about me? What would Festus think about me if I became a Christian? I wonder, am I speaking to someone tonight and the fear of man is keeping you back from becoming a Christian? Maybe there are some of you here tonight and you've been brought to the point of decision, you've been brought to the point of conversion, and you've been thinking about becoming a Christian, and then the thought has entered your mind, well, what will my friends say, and those guys that I work with in the office, if I go in on Monday morning and tell them that I get saved in Lisburn Baptist Church on Sunday night, they'll laugh at me, and what will my mother think, and my father think, and my girlfriend think, and my husband think, and my boyfriend will think? Harry Ironside was a famous preacher in the United States of America, and he grew up in a Christian home, and many times his mommy would talk to him about becoming a Christian, and he would always say, Mommy, I would really love to. But he said, you know, I'm afraid that my friends will laugh if I do. And his mother would always say to him, Harry, remember this, your friends may laugh you into hell, but they'll never laugh you out of hell. Wonder is the fear of others tonight preventing you from becoming a follower of Christ. Oh, there was Bernice, the love of sin. There was Festus, the fear of man. But you know, my dear friends, as I look around that banquet hall that day, I don't think it was Bernice, the love of sin. I don't think it was Festus, the fear of man. I think it was Agrippa himself, the act of faith. You notice what Paul said to King Agrippa. He said, "Believest thou the prophets, King Agrippa? I know that thou believest." Paul's looking into the face of the king and he's saying, "Paul, do you believe it? I know that you believe it." But then you see, my friends, tonight there are different kinds of belief. There's a belief in your head and there's a belief in your heart. Do you know what the Bible says? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I just wonder where you are tonight in coming to Christ. I just wonder, dear sinner friend, tonight, how far along you are tonight. How far along the line you are in the decision process. I wonder tonight, do you know intellectually that you're a sinner? You say, "Preacher, I know that." Do you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? You say, "I believe that." Do you believe tonight that He rose again so that you might be made right before God? You say, "I believe that." Do you have a desire tonight to come to Christ? You say, "Preacher, sooner or later, I would love to become a Christian because I don't want to die and go to hell." My friend, if you stop there, you're not there. You're not there. There has to be an act of faith. There has to be a committal to Christ. You have to come to the point where you say, "I'll give my life to the Lord now." Wonder, are you ready for that last step this evening? Maybe the Holy Spirit has been working in your heart. Maybe He's been using these little things that we've mentioned tonight as just links in the chain to bring you to Christ. Oh, think of this scene tonight. Think of the man that confronted the king. Think of the message that convicted the king. Think of the moment that condemned the king. Here's the king, and he's standing at the threshold of salvation, and yet he turns back almost persuaded but lost. Space Shuttle Columbia almost completed their mission. They were only 16 minutes from landing. They were out in space for 16 days. They were involved in a scientific mission. Their family had been brought into Cape Canaveral. They'd been all there so that they could be reunited as soon as the spacecraft landed. But then something tragically went wrong. Space Shuttle Columbia broke up as it entered the atmosphere. It just broke up in pieces. It began to rain down upon the state of Texas. That almost completed their mission. They were almost home, but almost is not enough. And tonight the United States of America mourns the loss of 7 brave astronauts. I wonder tonight, are you at the door of salvation? Wonder, are you almost there? I mean, what will you do in this critical moment? Agrippa turned his back on the Savior. Oh, think, my friends, of the joy that he missed. He missed the joy of being a Christian. He missed the joy of sins forgiven. He missed the joy of what Ruth has been singing about tonight. He missed the joy of peace with God. He missed the joy of standing in the right before God. He missed the joy of an assurance that when life is over, you have a home in heaven. For to be almost a Christian is not to be a Christian. Think of the joy that he missed, and then think of the judgment that he met. For heaven's gifted, persuasive, spirit-filled messenger presented the king with the demands of the gospel, and he shrugged them off, and as far as we know, the Holy Spirit never gave him another chance. You know something? One of the most dangerous things that you can do, dear friend, is to come to a service like this. Because you know the message now. And the message is simply this, that God loves you, and Christ has died for you. And on the cross, He shed His precious blood and opened a way into the presence of God now and into heaven thereafter. And if you turn from your sin tonight and place your confidence and faith in Jesus Christ, you'll be saved for heaven. And if you turn your back upon Jesus Christ and die in your sins, you'll go to hell. You've heard the story of the cross. You've heard the story of the gospel, but stop tonight. Listen. What if God had almost loved us? What if Christ had almost died for us? What if the Holy Spirit had almost convicted us? Then there would have been no message to preach, no forgiveness to enjoy, no prospect to anticipate. But listen, my dear friends, ours tonight is not an almost gospel. It's an altogether gospel. For all the way to Calvary, He went for me. He died to set me free. You know something? I'd rather go into eternity from darkest Africa than from privileged Gulfstar. You know the gospel. You know the message. The opportunities given to you tonight to trust the Savior. I wonder what will you do? Will you turn away tonight again from the Savior and go out into the darkness to endure an eternity of regret? I want you to come with me in these closing moments in the journey. I want to pull back the curtain tonight and show you some of the personalities of Hen Hale. There's a man, and he's sitting on the throne of fire tonight, and he's saying, I have betrayed the innocent blood. You say, preacher, who is this person? It's Judas Iscariot. He betrayed the sinless Son of God for 30 paltry pieces of silver. We move on along tonight through the hot corridors of hell, and there's a man who's bathing his hands in hot bowls of flame, and he's saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. You say, who is he? It's Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea. He had the chance to know the Savior. He had the chance to repent of his sins, and yet he didn't. And we go a little further tonight through the hot corridors of hell, and there's another person we're confronted with, and he's a man who said, when I have a convenient season, when I have a convenient season, he's crying out, when I have a convenient season. You say, who's he? He's Felix, the guy before Festus. And he's saying, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You know the tragedy of all tragedies in hell. As we go a little further through the hot corridors of hell tonight, there's a man who's crying from the depths of his soul, almost, 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 almost. Who is it? It's Agrippa. Almost persuaded to become a Christian. And yet he turns away. I heard the story of a man named William Hyatt. He was a 62-year-old miner who was found with his face and hands buried in the hot, searing sand of the Mojave Desert. His car had broken down. And he walked 22 miles through the Mojave Desert until he died. The last 2 miles he was on his hands and feet. He was crawling on his hands and feet. The last 2 miles, and he died in the sand. Just over the next sand dune, half a mile away, over the next sand dune, was the Saracota Springs that could have saved his life. He was almost there. He was almost home. But he was lost. I wonder tonight, will that be said of you? Almost there, but lost. Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day. On thee I'll call. Friends, tonight we're not play acting. We haven't come out tonight to fool away an hour. We have come out to tell you the truth about your sin, about your soul, and about your eternal welfare. Don't be almost tonight. Come to Christ. Be altogether persuaded. Know tonight that it's well with your soul. Let's pray. Let's take a moment or two just in the presence of the Lord. Our meeting is almost over and we'll be going out through those doors soon. But maybe you're here this evening and you're not a Christian. Maybe you've been coming on a Sunday night hearing the faithful preaching of the gospel. Maybe the Holy Spirit has been working in your heart. Perhaps you've been almost persuaded, but you're not altogether there yet. I wonder tonight, is tonight's meeting the final piece in the jigsaw to bring you to the Savior? Maybe you're saying, "Preacher, tonight, Dennis, I'd love to become a Christian. I don't know how. I don't know the mechanics of it." My dear friend, let me tell you tonight, it's so simple. Don't stumble at the simplicity of it. Don't let the devil confuse it in your mind. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And tonight, if you call on that name, He'll save you. As a little 9-year-old boy, I came to Christ at my father's knee. I prayed something like this: "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." I wonder tonight, will you make that commitment to Christ? Will you pray that prayer? Will you trust that Savior? God has been speaking to you tonight, or maybe on other evenings, and you'd like to speak with us. We'd only be too happy to do that. We're just sinners saved by grace. We're no better than you are. Would love to open the scriptures to you to show how Christ can become your Savior. If we can help you tonight, stay behind. But oh, tonight, get right with God. Do it now. Get right with God. He tells you how. Oh, come to Christ who shed his blood. And at the cross, get right with God. Father, we think of some tonight who may be in the meeting and still not saved. We ask, dear Lord, that thou wilt have mercy upon them and draw them with the cords of Calvary love to the person of Christ this evening, as we give thee thanks in his name.